Welcome to Happy Talks with Dr. Alice and Donovan. Dr. Alice Fong is a holistic naturopathic doctor and founder of Amor de Soi Wellness, and Donovan Jensen is a software engineer and founder of HowToHappy.com. Together, they're out to cause more happiness in the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Happy Talks. My name is Dr. Alice, and this is my awesome co-host, Donovan. And today we are talking about acceptance of others. So Donovan, kick off this conversation. What are your initial thoughts when it comes to accepting others?
So I think when it comes to, you know, acceptance of others, it really depends on what sort of behaviors you're seeing and how they interact with your sort of thought patterns, right? Like, so for example, if someone is doing something you find morally wrong, it's going to be harder to be accepting of them, as opposed to if it's something that's like, you know, some sort of like a slight disagreement, like I don't like ketchup. You know, I see someone eating ketchup, it's even though I'm like, oh God, it looks gross to me, I am a little more able to accept those kinds of things. So another part of it though, is I think there's a lot of people who have patterns that are really judgmental around some random things. So maybe we could start on some of the easier stuff and work our way up to some of the more difficult things like morality stuff. But I see people doing things like, oh, how could you put pineapple on pizza? Oh my God. And sometimes people do that in a silly way, but sometimes people do that in a very genuine, like, this is wrong. This is not how pizza should be made. And it's kind of ridiculous to me because I don't see any benefits to acting like that, or like not having that acceptance around some of those things that don't matter as much. But before I go on to a long, long ramble, I'd be curious what some of your thoughts are.
Well, it's curious, interesting that you mentioned the morality piece, because that in itself, my first thought was that there's kind of, it's very based on people's life experiences and perspectives on like what would be considered moral or immoral. And that can vary. I mean, some are a little standard, like killing a person is generally viewed as a bad thing to do. That's wrong. But I was just actually listening to this other podcast, and he was talking about how he kind of deconstructed from being an evangelical, a Christian, a super Christian. I'm not Christian, so I'm messing that up. But basically how he like deconstructed from his Christianity, which was like his whole life and upbringing, and like how he's being perceived now, like by other Christians, is like, oh, they're perceiving him as like, oh, well, you were never really a Christian if you're not a Christian now. Like, you were never really that. And that's kind of, and he was like a hardcore Christian when he was a Christian. So it's kind of hurtful. But to the people that are like judging him for not being a Christian anymore, in their perspective, it could be like, he is morally wrong for not being a Christian. And I'm like, from my perspective, there's nothing morally wrong with not being a Christian at all, or leaving your religion if you decide it's not a good fit for you. So it really, really depends. That was my initial thought when you brought up the morality piece, which I know you wanted to like save for later, but I just dove right in.
Yeah. No, I think the only reason I brought it up is because I think if I think about developing acceptance and being able to be like more accepting of others, I think it's a more natural progression if you're struggling with some of the like smaller things or the less important things, to like start there, build that up, and then like over time integrate some of the stuff around like bigger pieces that may seem morally objectionable to you, but like you can still figure out how to accept the person. I feel like there's a lot more nuance there, and it's a lot trickier. That's all I was trying to get at, is like,
okay,
you know, on the scale from like I have full acceptance of everyone and everything, and down to like everything has to be exactly the way I think it should be, or else like,
they're wrong and bad.
So there's one, you know, as we're sort of talking about that, I think this acceptance word can sometimes trip people up the wrong way, especially when we talk about things like beyond morals and stuff. I just remember I made a piece of content around something, a similar idea, and somebody was like, hey, if I'm just accepting of of everyone and everything if I just like I'll just accept that someone can come in and take my wife from me and take all my belongings and kill me and kill my family. And it's just like, okay, all right, hold on. If anybody's going to that extreme, like, there's a difference between accepting people, accepting their actions, and accepting like differences in values or differences in, like you're saying, morality is, so some people, they it feels like an objective thing, but
right,
for all purposes, it's a subjective thing, right? People have different sets of beliefs and what they think is moral or immoral. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about like, you know, developing acceptance at that level, at least in my mind, is not necessarily about like, oh, wow, anything anyone does is okay with me and I'm just not going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about, or at least I've gotten a lot more mileage about around like trying to understand people holistically as people and their perspective and their background and where they're coming from. So, you know, if you take something like, I don't know, somebody who's like murdered someone, well, there's actually a lot of different context that could be meaningful there.
Mm-hmm.
And while it still could be like, oh, cool, well, I don't want this person just like walking around on the streets, depending on the situation, right? Like, you could still accept them as a person. But I think for a lot of people, that like last piece, mm-hmm. that last like area is where it becomes exponentially difficult. And I'm talking about it in a way that's much easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally can resonate with that. And it made me think about like how, except like, I think what I wanted to tease out from what you shared was the distinction between like, there's a difference between accepting a person, but you don't necessarily have to agree with them. Like, you don't have to like, just go along with whatever they think and their perception and all of that. It's like, no, you have your perception and that's a valid perception, but they have theirs and that's valid. And, you know, it's not necessarily trying to match their perspective, or it's really about understanding them and why they might have a different perspective and, you know, different opinions, whether it's toppings on a pizza or a sports team or something more serious like politics or religion. it all varies. And it's like people have their reasons for thinking and believing and doing what they do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we're sort of opening up this conversation around acceptance, the reason that it is so useful to sort of develop this kind of attitude towards mm-hmm. other people is because when you don't, you end up closed off in a way that not only like limits some of the relationships, but also is more likely to cause conflict and tension where they're doesn't yeah. necessarily need to be any, like, especially when you, right, if you can't even handle the small things like, oh, this pizza's not made correctly, like,
right,
that's going to just cause you a lot more conflict and anguish than it would otherwise. And right. it doesn't really serve you as the other piece, right? Like, you don't get anything out of trying to tell someone the way that they should be doing something in that instance. Mm-hmm. And that also can apply a lot of times to things that, as it scales up in seriousness and intensity.
Yeah, definitely. And it could be, I think what I want to pull out from that is that when, like, let's start with the small things like pizza toppings, and you get really, it doesn't really serve yourself either to be really upset about it. it's like you don't necessarily have to eat that pizza. You know, maybe you have half and half type of pizza. I don't know what the situation is, but they're not forcing you to eat that pizza, typically is the situation. And so it doesn't really impact you. And it's like, they're eating their pizza, they enjoy it, let them eat their pizza in peace. Because what if you turned it around and put it on you, if you were just like, oh no, I love sausage pizza. And they're like, ew, how could you think about sausage pizza? It would be weird. And if they made you feel bad about it, then that kind of decreases the experience of socializing and enjoying a pizza together, if that might be it. But it doesn't really affect them so much as it affects you. And it's like that old proverb, like, you know, when you're upset or angry with someone else, like giving your enemy poison and expecting him to die, but but you're basically drinking it yourself. I totally butchered that. You know that thing. Drinking your own poison. Yeah, it's causing upset for you and distress. And does it really need to be? Is this something you really need to be upset about?
Yeah, I can speak from personal experience. I used to be much, much more opinionated about music, mm-hmm. like very strongly, in a way that was like really judgmental and not accepting at all.
Yeah.
And I wasted so much time and energy, both just like arguing with people and just like stewing about like, oh my God, like I hate this. This is so dumb. Like, I can't believe that people like this and da 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 da. And like the piece or the mindset shift that I eventually got to was like, the stuff that I enjoy, other people look at the same way. And like, if someone were to approach me the way I'm approaching this, first of all, I wouldn't care.
Right.
And second of all, I wouldn't, yeah. You know, like they're, I mean, not in a substantial way for that specific thing, but in general, their position in my eyes would also be lowered because it's just like, mm-hmm. just relax. There's, you don't need to freak out about this. It doesn't impact you. It doesn't do anything. Like it's something that, you know, and there can be other situations that are more nuanced that do have an impact on you. Like if your neighbors are playing loud music all night, like those are different like positions, but there's a lot of things that people get upset over, and including myself, that would like had no effect on me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a terrible pattern to be in, to just waste my own time mm-hmm. being frustrated at something that didn't impact me.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely makes sense. But let's kind of dive into things that might impact you. little heavier stuff. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example where like something, some, like, let's say you are, you co-parent and maybe you're separated from your baby mama or baby daddy for whatever reason. And you have different ways that you want to raise your child, but they live in two separate places. And that impacts you when, like, let's say one parent is letting the kid eat a bunch of sugar all the time, and then they come home wanting all that sugar all the time, and they're hyped up and not sleeping well, and it's impacting their grades. And that impacts you because you got to deal with this hyped up, hyper child. So, well, what do you think people should do in that type of situation?
That's really tough. Let's see, what is a good way to approach that? I mean, I guess the first thing is to figure out which parts, I mean, I know we're talking about acceptance, but just in general, I like the first thing is probably which parts actually are in your control, right? So if you can't get the other person to like do exactly what you want, just ways to like manage or mitigate what's happening. But when it comes to raising your kid, I think that's like triple hard for me, just because that's a super hard situation, but I also don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. So first don't have a kid and then you'll be fine. For acceptance, I mean, this is something that's got a lot of mileage for me, which is I feel like unless people are emotionally out of control and they're not really like fully aware and conscious of what they're doing, or at least not thinking clearly, people almost never do what they think is wrong, right? They're mm-hmm. always doing what from their perspective they think is right.
Yeah.
Now there's like a couple edge cases, but for the most part, that's true. Mm-hmm. And when I realized this, I was able to use a lot more patience, I guess, for other people trying to see why they would think that whatever the thing that they're doing is the right thing to do. Right. Because like if they want to raise the kid in a way that's different than I want to, you know, in that example, I have to think about like, why would they be doing that? Like, why would they think that's the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. And if I can get some understanding there, which like when I switched my mindset to that, I was able to a lot of times get more understanding. Mm-hmm. It gave me way more space to like accept it again, even if I didn't agree with mm-hmm. what the actions actually were. So that's what that's a habit that has helped me immensely mm-hmm. is just like trying to figure out, okay, why does this person think this is the right thing to do? Like, why are they getting this kid all hyper? Like,
right.
And you know, anyway, the more space I created for that, the easier it's been for me to accept others, even if, again, I don't agree with exactly what it is.
Yeah, no, I do the same thing, in that it really does make a difference, where it helps you kind of get out of your own reaction and upset over, you know, why are they doing this to me? You know, I think most of the time they're not intentionally trying to hurt you. I mean, sometimes that might be the case. But like, if I was in that situation, I mean, I haven't been in that situation because I don't have kids either at this current moment, but I would think, like, you know, maybe one of the parents is spoiling the child because they feel guilty for separating from their mother or father, potentially. That could be a possibility, but then it invites a conversation with your co-parent and really kind of get to the heart of it. Hopefully you can have some open communication and really think about, like, create some sort of, even though you're not romantically involved anymore, you're gonna have to be involved with each other's lives for a very, very long time because you share a child. And it's about creating, like, teamwork and not about what each other necessarily wants, or it's more about, like, what's best for the child. And can we come to an agreement on that? It's like, yeah, maybe once in a while, a little bit of sugar for a special occasion, no problem, or come to some sort of agreement or terms that works for both of you, if that's possible. And if it's a struggle, then maybe getting some support. Like, you could still go to, like, couples therapy, even if you aren't together, and get some, like, objective third party to kind of sort out through those issues to help you through it, so it doesn't create more distress for either parent or the child, really, because that's really what should be the most important thing.
Should be. I've seen enough.
Should be.
I've seen enough and been in enough of a split family to know that there's all kinds of petty nonsense that goes on. But
right, yes. In theory, like most of the things we talk about.
Yeah. our best selves are capable of acting that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a really good point of just, like, mm-hmm. if you can create a dialogue, right? That's sort of what you're talking about in terms of, like, going to therapy or just, like, opening up the relationship. That's another way that really helps to be able to accept people more beyond just, like, you know, you can do these sort of internal ruminations around, like, well, like, why are they trying to, you know, why do they think this is the right thing to do? Why are they doing it this way? But also just actually talking to the person and, like, asking some of those questions. And you may run into walls where it's like, I just really don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. But at least you'll have an understanding, or attempt to have an understanding, of why they think it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of another example that's a lot lower stakes, but there's a park across the street from me, and they're gonna, like, update a bunch of the stuff and upgrade all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that they're going to do is add a parking lot, and there was people, so there was, like, a community meeting in the park about the upgrades. Mm-hmm. And there was people there, like, basically protesting against the parking lot. And I was like, that's kind of weird. That's interesting. Like, I'll just go over there because I'm interested in kind of what they're working on too.
Right.
And I thought it was kind of funny because, like, all the people who were protesting the parking lot were all parked in front of my house. Like, you know, they're, like, taking up the whole street in front of my house.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I want a parking lot.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want all of you guys out in front of my house, but, like, let me go listen to what these people are concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first I was like, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't want this. Like, mm-hmm. why do you want to park on the street and like, block up this small street
mm-hmm.
and also in front of my house? But so I went and when I listened and when I actually, like, heard people communicate, like, what their concerns were, and it's because a lot of the residents have lived here for a long time and they're worried that, like, adding a parking lot and all these upgrades are going to make the park a lot busier and that's going to cause, like, more problems because it's, like, a pretty quiet, tucked away community.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was so much easier for me with that understanding to be like, oh, okay, I get where they're coming from. Like, I disagree because personally, like, I would rather have you guys park in a parking lot than in front of my house. Right. But you know, it just opened that door up so much more when I had just a little bit more understanding of sort of the positions and the reasoning behind it, even though I didn't necessarily agree. I was able to be like, oh, that makes, like, that's a reasonable position for these people to have. Mm-hmm. They may or may not be correct in what the outcome will be, but like, that makes sense to me.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That reminds me of when I lived in Maryland in a small town, and there was, they really, really fought, bringing like a Home Depot or a Lowe's to the town. They were like adamant. And I was like, I don't understand. I have to drive like a half hour to get to Home Depot. It would be much more convenient. I could go to the local like hardware store, but like 80% of the time they don't have what I need. So it's just like, this is really inconvenient for me. But I did go to one of those town meetings to get a better understanding and really try to get why they were fighting. And it's similar reasons to your people and why they don't want a parking lot. It's just like, it brings more traffic, it brings more issues, it takes away from local business. So I get it. But also, speaking of that town, it was a stark contrast. Let's dive into like heavier things like politics. Because I grew up in California and then also lived in Seattle area, I grew up in fairly liberal bubbles. And when I moved to Southern Maryland, it's a very conservative county, around when like Trump became president. So you see Trump signs all over the place. And I was just like, if I hadn't like lived there, like if I still lived in California or Seattle, I probably would not understand how Trump got elected in the first place. But since I did live there, and you know, these are good people, they're, you know, decent people, they work hard, they're friendly. And I also like heard their perspectives about politics, and it like is interesting how they think about it. And it's very different from how I think. But for the most part, there's always like those extremists, and that's not most of them, probably. It's like they're extremists on both ends who paint the picture, making each side look worse than they actually are. And then there's the people like kind of in between, where a lot of them were, but I was just like, from getting to know them and actually knowing that they were good, decent people who have certain held beliefs and believe certain things and, you know, thought certain ways, it made more sense on why he got elected. And even though it was still upsetting for me when he did it, just like, I wasn't like in total shock or disbelief when it happened. And, you know, I was still able to get along and interact with these people. I just try to avoid the politics conversation because we would just go around in circles and not really get anywhere. So I just kind of put that to the side so we can have like more engaging conversations and get to know them as just general human beings. And that helped me, instead of kind of seeing them as like, they're the enemy and I need to boycott anyone who's associated with that, like, or do, I can't even talk to you. They're everywhere. And, you know, they're human beings and they can be decent people too, with certain held beliefs because of, you know, what they were raised with or what they were exposed to, like all sorts of factors. So I get it. I don't agree, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it opens up, yeah, or it just goes back to sort of like this idea of like, why, I mean, it's another instance, like, why does this person think that that's the correct thing to do? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like you're saying, like you go into their background and sort of get an idea of sort of the like influences or the forces that have like shaped them into who they are and what they believe. Mm-hmm. And that helps a lot, even if you don't agree, right?
Right.
It even works. You're talking about how, you know, like on the extreme ends, it makes both sides look really bad. Right. But like even those people, if you can hear their perspective, mm-hmm. and see why they believe what they believe, or like hear what it is, like, yeah, you may be like, okay, well, this thing that they're basing a lot of their beliefs on is not verifiable, mm-hmm. or just like a lie or wrong or whatever. You can at least understand, like, if I were to believe that that thing was actually true, it's mm-hmm. like that what was it, like the Pizzagate thing, right? Like that guy busted in and was like trying to bust it up and like shoot people and like take things down. Like, but you know, like from the outside, it's like, oh, it's very easy to like figure out that that wasn't a real thing. However, I can 100% see if I believed genuinely that that was the case, mm-hmm. then those actions make sense. Now, how you got to the point of like believing right. that you think that's true, that's something else. But like, it's a lot easier for me to like accept things like that, mm-hmm. even on the extremes, because I'm like, well, if I genuinely believed whatever this thing is, like that action makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Now you have to sometimes suspend a little bit of like, how did you miss the fact that this is ridiculous? Like,
I know, right?
But you know, there's probably beliefs that you or I have, or you know, anyone has, that other people look at and like, there's no way that you got to this. This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So yeah. Just trying to give a little more space and realize that like, I'm not any different than anyone else,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, having perfect beliefs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just opens up the ability to be more accepting, whether or not I agree with the actual final like outcome or thought or decision, or even the train of thought that got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just realized, you know, one of the things, like, especially I think social media has played a role in creating such polarizing differences in various, whether it's politics or religion or whatever it might be, it can be very polarizing. And I think it's like, it creates this mentality, like these people with different beliefs are the enemy, they're villains, they're evil. And it goes both ways, each side. And it's just like, you know, let's maybe stop vilifying them and trying to get them. And I think that would be more productive. It's, again, it's not about agreeing with them at all. It's about like getting them, and it creates less like distress in yourself. And it might open, like if you're vilifying them and like screaming at them or shouting at them or telling them that they're evil or whatever, that doesn't help your case. Doesn't help your situation. It doesn't invite a productive conversation by any means, if you do even want to go there. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go there, that's fine. But if there was like someone that was actually wanting to have a productive conversation and really understand each other rather than like argue their point and try to like ground their foot in the ground to like have you believe what I believe, that's a different story. But if it's a matter of just understanding each other, I would be much more open to that conversation than if someone was trying to force their perspective on me.
Yeah. And I want to highlight that the outcomes are so much better, right? Yeah. Like the reason to be more accepting and to open that space is because you get such better outcomes. Like when, you know, like with the social media stuff, with the more polarized things get, the worse our outcomes get, because we move to a place where conflict is like how we're going to resolve things instead of dialogue.
Right.
So that's the reason. And you know, if you think about like on social media, why do people think it's the correct thing to do to vilify the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Because you get attention. Like that's what gets you more like support and attention and cohesion and inside your own group. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it in terms of like what's going to give us the best outcomes, it's definitely not that. Like butting heads. I mean, if you ever lived with someone and have a disagreement, like the best thing to do is to figure out how to resolve it, not to like entrench yourself, because then you just end up with more and more tension until things blow up in a non-productive way.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, I think we covered this topic pretty well. Was there anything else that you wanted to cover before we wrap up?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in this week. We appreciate you. And if you appreciate us, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe and spread the happiness in the world. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Happy Talks with Dr. Allison Donovan.
We hope you got something of value to help bring a little more happiness into your life. What lesson or takeaway did you get from today's episode?
For more tips and tools, be sure to check out my website at dralicefong.com, and you can find me on my social media handles at Dr. Alice Fong.
You can find me at howtohappy.com and follow me on my social media handles at howtohappy. Catch you next time.